How many people have your Bible today? If you have your Bible, please stand up and raise them above your head and bear witness of His Word. Look around and show it to the person behind you. Show it to the person beside of you. Understand that this will be the authority that we use today. I do not intend to share with you something that is of my opinion. I intend to share with you God's heart, God's revealed Word. So are you okay with that?
Yes.
Good, good. We're going to be on the right track then. Would you be seated? Turn to two places if you will, please. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus will be in the back of your Bible after the book of 2 Timothy, the book before the book of Philemon. Titus chapter 2. And then when you find that place, you can turn to John chapter 10. Titus 2 and John chapter 10. When you find your places, say, I have it. So let's talk for a second before we read our scripture. I want to talk about expectations and disappointments. These two things, expectations and disappointments. I would have never thought years ago before I accepted the calling of God that I would be able to talk to so many different people with so many different disappointments. I talk to people all the time that had disappointments, but it's not just those people. You know, I struggle with disappointment also. You struggle with disappointment. Well, let me ask you this. Well, has there ever been a time where you had an expectation that ended in disappointment? So, let's take it back in simplicity. You have expectations for today, right? What are your expectations for today? Don't say it out loud. I want you to go over in your mind. You know, these children, they knew it, what they expected to do today. What are your expectations for today? You say, well, it all depends on what time we get out of here, right? No. What are your expectations for today? Now, let's go on a broader scale. What are your expectations for this week, this month, maybe this time in your life? Also, hear people that have these grand expectations, and we see this happen as that child doesn't stay a child, and the expectation is not just about today. You see, they're not worrying about tomorrow. They're worrying about today. They have expectations, and some of them will be disappointed. But for us, as we get older, we have expectations, what we want. We watch that child grow up, and then they have expectations of what they're going to have at school and in class, and then they'll want to be getting into a different school, and they have expectations of what the test is going to be like, and they take that test, and they pass the test, and then they have an expectation of what school they want to go to and what kind of career they want to go into, and so they apply themselves, and all along the road, there are disappointments, aren't there? Then you get a career, and there's disappointments in it. You have different expectations, and then when you get to finances, well, then a whole different set of expectations. A whole different set of disappointments, right? And then you get a little bit older. Maybe you're not thinking about that. And then you have the expectation of health. When you go to the doctor and he comes back in, you're just waiting. You're expecting him to say a certain thing, but how many times are we disappointed? You know, our disappointments are always a product of our expectations. With that in mind, you probably could say there are times in life when you've been disappointed with a person, right? Disappointed with a person, you expected them to be a different way or do something different. You expected that person to act a different way towards you, or what you had in your mind, you thought, oh man, it changed, and you're so disappointed in that person. Has that ever happened to anybody? And then maybe you've just been disappointed in a situation. And this is every day. The situation can be as serious as something that you've planned for, you've worked towards, and then it didn't work out and disappointment sets in. I see people walking around all the time with just disappointment. As a matter of fact, Christians today, I've never seen a more disappointed group, it seems like. God told us to go out and be the light of the world, and it seems like I just see frustrated, disappointed, almost angry people because something is not working out. And if you ask somebody, how's it going? I mean, that's a loaded question, right? And it can be on something little. Let me tell you how common it is. You see, you could take an ordinary event. Last night, Angie and I had to go to a function. After the function, I said, you know, I really want to go. I really want a cheeseburger. You know, I'm a cheeseburger connoisseur. There's a place that opened in town that I haven't tried. Too many people have been there. Too many things going in and out. Last night, you said, we're going in. We're going into the crowd. We're going to see what's going to happen. So by the time I got to the parking lot, just turning in, I'm going to take you through my mind. Turning lane's really not big enough to go into the parking lot. They've got two coming out. They've got one going in. If the person pulls out a little bit too far, then it's hard for you to turn in. I was disappointed in that. As I drove in, the parking situation, I was disappointed in that because you have to go around the wrong way to park somewhere, and there's cars coming out this way. The lanes are backwards. We drive on the right-hand side of the road. I was disappointed somebody didn't think about that. I tried to turn around and get to a place, but a car was coming out. It was a little bit frustrating, and I thought, okay, that's fine. So then we made our way in, and as we got in, we noticed that right as we got in, there's no order in the line. As you go into the door, there's no order in the line, and I'm sitting here trying to keep my mind on what I want because I'm expecting to have this burger that's a good meal, but the order that they have is you get in line to take an order, but not a real line, and then someone broke. Someone broke in line because there's not order. I was disappointed in the way they had everything set up, and I was afraid I was going to be disappointed in my actions. But I was good, wasn't I? Yep. I let it go. And then I got to the stage to order. Now, if you think I'm going to give you a level of like for the place, I'm not going to do that. I'm just telling you about just getting into the parking lot. Okay, so that's a little 5-minute area I described to you. Do you see the level of disappointment that's there? In little things that doesn't matter at all. During that time, there were things, little firecrackers going off in my head, the same ones that go off in your disappointment, 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 over nothing. Now compound that. Anybody else living in that same kind of thing? That's how easy it can happen with something bigger than that. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Paul writes this letter to Titus, beginning in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for, say that with me.
Looking for.
One more time.
Looking for.
One more time.
Looking for.
Or we could say expecting, but let's say looking for that blessed hope. Now let's say those two words together. One more time. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Verse 13 tells us that we should live this life as a Christian looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You said the word looking for. Looking for means that we need to live this life in expectation. Expectation of what, according to this scripture? Looking for what?
Jesus.
That blessed hope. Say it with me.
Blessed.
So we're expecting that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But how many of us are really living with that expectation? You see, he tells us this because in the preceding verses, there's something here that we need to see. It says in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, my problems are in this present world. My disappointments are in this present world. They can be minor, they can be major, but it says denying those those worldly lusts, ungodliness and those worldly lusts. Well, that doesn't need to be a sexual immorality that he's talking about here. When we say the word lust, everybody thinks, oh, he's talking about those lusts, the sexual sins. No, lust is what you want, your wants in this world. And there are people who want something that has nothing to do with any kind of sexuality, but they want money so bad, they want a claim so bad, they want status so bad, they want things to work out their way so bad that they're distracted from being able to see what they should be expecting. You see, they're expecting things, get this, in this present world. Verse 12 is big. Living in this present world. Now, we're told in this same verse 12 to live soberly, being self-controlled, clear-minded, upright, godly lives while we wait for this blessed hope. How many people in here like to wait?
No,
we don't like to wait, do we? It's not in our nature. We talked about this last week. We have that immediate gratification thing. It seems like our mood is hung on that. The word blessed here, blessed hope. This word blessed can mean happy or beneficial, meaning that the hope will not end in disappointment. What I want you to know, if we live with this expectation of being together with Jesus, it will not end in disappointment. When he says blessed hope, what he is saying is this blessed hope is different from our everyday expectations of the world that do end in disappointment. Blessed hope is different than hope. To say blessed hope is to say joyful hope. It's a joyful expectation because it's given to us with the assurance from God that it will not lead to disappointment, it will lead to happiness. Let me ask you, how many people believe that the Word of God is true? He's telling us that this is a blessed hope that you can live with. So next question, how many of us are really, on a daily basis, as much as we're expecting all these other things in life that we want, how many of us with the same expectation are looking for Jesus to come back? When we come in here, I mean, it's sort of, we talk about it, but I'm talking about at 2:15 last Thursday when you were going through that dilemma, how many people were saying it really doesn't matter because Jesus is coming back, and if he doesn't come back right now, he's going to walk with me through that. How many people are living with that blessed hope, or is it just something that we're bringing up in here? You see, what I'm seeing today are the most disappointed, frustrated Christians I've ever seen in my life. There's always this issue that leads to complaining or leads to disdain. How in the world are we going to be a light if people see disappointment all over us? Well, understand something. We're going to be disappointed with things in our life, so that's not the key. The key is to look for, expect something above this world. And this is what Paul is trying to tell us as far as to the reader of the book of Titus. And I ask you, are we really living with the expectation that Jesus is coming to take us out of this world? And for the person that wants to pick that apart, they'll say, yes, he's coming, but we don't know when he's coming. They've said for years that he's coming, and right now, I'm really in the middle of this, so the fact that he's coming doesn't deliver me from this right now, but it does. You see, living with blessed hope helps you no matter what you're in. And you know that he even speaks to the fact that we don't have to still be alive when Jesus comes back for that blessed hope to help us. You see, his blessed hope covers us whether we see the rapture of Jesus Christ happen today or whether we die before it happens. I have no idea whether I'm going to leave this pulpit today. I have no idea how long my life is going to last. But I know if I have a blessed hope that I'm going to see Jesus, whether I leave before you or we leave together, I will never be disappointed. Jesus said this in John chapter 14 when his disciples were upset about the fact that they were going to be separated. Listen to the blessed hope in this statement. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You see, he was going away, but he said, I'm going away for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, listen to the promise, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That promise will never disappoint. He wouldn't have said it. See, when God said it, you can mark it down. If I say it and it's not of Scripture, you can't take me but any more than what I think. I'm just a human. You're just a human. But God's never going to disappoint if you expect from Him what He said He's going to do. You know, it doesn't stop there. He gives us a glimpse beyond that. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you, but you can mark it on your notes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You see, people were concerned, and Paul was trying to teach the church at Thessalonica, listen, whether you die before Jesus comes back or whether you're here, let me explain to you what happens. He begins in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, and he says this, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no what?
Hope.
Don't be acting like those that have no hope. Hey, by the way, have you got your places in 1 Thessalonians 4? Let me read this to you, because I think that... I think it's vital to understand. He's saying the same thing that he was saying in Ephesians chapter 2. You don't have to turn there, but just listen to what he's saying in Ephesians chapter 2. He says here, and you who hath quickened, who were dead in the trespasses and sins. He's talking to Christians who have been saved, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our life, our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But then we have this huge statement in verse 4, but God, say it with me. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, He has quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. So Paul is saying the same thing in 1 Thessalonians. He's saying, now that you are saved, or the person that is saved, whether you've passed away or you've had somebody pass away, I wouldn't have you be ignorant. I want you to learn. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Listen to this last phrase. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. If you take His word, and that is your blessed hope, you will never be disappointed. That will happen. But if our expectation just lies on this world of what we think we can do, we are going to be disappointed. You're going to have disappointments anyway. He's saying, put blessed hope on top of this life. Paul spoke again to the church at Corinth here in the 15th chapter after he was explaining the gospel to them. And he told them that, and he spent the whole chapter talking about the spiritual resurrection that's going to happen. And understand, if life leaves my body today, well, I'm sure you guys will plan a little something. The first thing they'll do is they'll get my body out of here. They'll plan a little something, we'll do a little something, and then they'll put my body right out there. But the Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians 5 that when my soul is living in a body that's not living, my soul will be absent with the body and present with the Lord. Amen. Which means my soul is going to be singing victory in Jesus when y'all are getting things ready and trying to figure out what to do. You know? The only praise that day will be the service ended so early. Right? Don't amen that one too much, right? But there'll be a day when Jesus Christ sees that the last soul has been saved here on this earth. And he stands up from that throne. And he comes to get the bride, to take the bride to heaven. None of us deserving it. And the Bible says that he will appear in the sky. And it says the dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. He's not coming to touch the earth at this time. That's not his second coming. That's the rapture. That's when he calls the bride. You see, he'll call the bride, those that are saved, those that are alive. Understand, your body's got to be changed, because me and you, we can't get to heaven. Take this mind into heaven, I would defile heaven immediately. Take this body into heaven, I would defile. The body says, the Bible says, we'll be changed. The dead in Christ will be resurrected. So my old body that's out there, it never could get to heaven anyway. No need for that to go. My spirit's in heaven. That person you lost, their soul is in heaven. But on that day, praise God, we have a glorified body, because body and soul, they're united. And that way we can praise God. We can stand in front of that throne. We can fall down. We can lift up holy hands. We can sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," in glorified body and soul. That's a blessed hope. If you believe that, you'll never be disappointed. And that's what the Bible tells us. He spends chapter 15 saying, "This corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality." So is brought the past to saying, "Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory?" Meaning, hey, this temporary life can't hold us. That's a blessed hope. Why aren't we thinking about that last Thursday at 2:15, when our expectations are led to disappointment and we're disgusted with life? Right? And everybody can tell.
Right.
You know, I've got a little something that I do when I'm disgusted. I try not to say too much. I just make a sound. Angie tells me, reminds me all the time. It goes something like this. That says a lot. Oh, you've got one too. I hear yours, right? Just that. Guilty, I see you looking at each other. Why? We're disappointed. We're disappointed. Didn't work out the way we wanted to, right? I want you to see some things that are pretty big deal. I'm going to try to show them to you in short succession, so it'll stick in our mind. I want you to understand that Jesus spent his whole life, he came to this earth and lived a sinless life so that we could have blessed hope. He lived a sinless life so that he could die a sacrificial death. He freely gave his life so that we could come to God, because God loves us. The Bible tells us that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came to take away our sins so that we can come to God. God's a holy and righteous God. He can't have communication or fellowship with me with the sin I have. So I have to have my sin taken away, which means that, well, I have to accept the gift of Jesus Christ and use his righteousness to cover my unrighteousness. Because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, right? So I have to come to him, I have to accept what he did, and use that sacrifice to cover my sin. That's the only way that I can come to God. That's the only way that I can get blessed hope. I can't learn enough about it. I can't inherit it from my mother, my grandmother. I have to accept it. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Listen, you shall be saved. That means if God made a statement like that, then you can expect it and know that you'll never be disappointed. If you come to God and confess with him with your mouth and believe earnestly, sincerely, you shall be saved. Jesus, he made a statement in Luke 5:32 that said, "I came not to call the righteous but sinners unto repentance." It's a pretty big deal, because a lot of people don't see themselves as sinners. He said he came to call them to repentance. Repentance means there has to be a change. You don't casually walk up to God and say, I don't want to miss out on this heaven thing, so let me say what I need to say. You don't take a class and learn enough about it to say, I want to make sure I'm covered and this is what our family is supposed to do. No, there has to be a change. I like the way D.L. Moody, you know, I read something from him to where he was preaching on repentance. And you know what he said? He said, repentance is like changing trains. You can see that train going. You can know that you need to be on it until you get off of this train and get onto that other train. You haven't repented. It's a change that happens in you. You know, Jesus stated his intention of his life a lot of times, but it was all geared to give us that blessed hope, something that would never disappoint. And this is what God wanted. You know, Jesus told us in John chapter 6, verse 38, for I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. I'm on a mission, right? He told us in Luke 19, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. But not everybody will accept him. We're told in John 1, verse 11 and 12, that he came into his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen? Everybody can have the blessed hope. But the sad thing is, a lot of people won't hope past this life. They're blinded by the expectations they want from this world. They will never by faith reach out and expect something, unfortunately, that will never disappoint. I told you to turn to John chapter 10 for a reason. I saw this and it stirred me when I saw it. It was a passage I had read a lot of times, and you know, I'm thinking about just the heart of Jesus. He was making this statement in John chapter 10. If you read John chapter 10, it's a powerful passage of Scripture where he was describing to us our relationship that we have with him, the shepherd and the sheep. But then he makes this statement in verse 17 and 18 of John chapter 10. And he says, therefore doth my Father love me. Here's the reason. Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. This commandment have I received of my Father. How many people have read that verse before? And how many people have focused on the fact that Jesus said, nobody is taking my life. I'm laying it down. Right? Well, I didn't focus on that part this time. I want you to see something he said in verse 17 and 18. He said, I lay it down that I might, say it again. One more time. Now look at verse 18. What does he say again in verse 18? He says, I have power to lay it down and I have power to what? Why is he emphasizing that he's going to take it again? You see, Jesus gave his life, but you know, that's where we stop preaching Jesus all the time. We stop preaching it that he gave his life. He gave his life. He was resurrected. He took it again. Why did he take his life again? He wasn't finished. You see, if he gave us salvation by dying for our sins just in this life, then you still have no hope past this life. You see, blessed hope happened because he took it again. Blessed hope has to do with his resurrection. He did the sacrificial part. He did the redemptive part. And if we use what he did for us and accept that part, then we have fellowship with God in this life. But praise God, our relationship with God doesn't end when our life on earth ends. This is blessed hope. Jesus gave us hope past this life. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. He said, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most what? Miserable. This life's going to end. You know, I told the early service, you know, I've been with people this week and death has come into the room. I've been with people that are thinking death is going to come into the room. And then I spent 3 or 4 hours this week, what a blessing, with a gentleman that's getting ready to be 81 years old. We talked about things that he did when he was a teenager. We laughed together. We talked about things that he did when he was young, married. Talked about things at work. We talked about when his wife was passing away and during that time. And we went all the way through this. And he was praising the Lord all the way through this. But he kept saying something that resonated with me. He said, "Just seems like no time ago. It just seems like no time ago. It just seems like no time ago." It's quick, isn't it? Book of James tells us that life is a vapor. It appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. I think back. I think back how quick life happens. No time ago. I was in high school. Seems like no time ago. You can't even imagine, hey, him in high school, for me, it seems like no time ago. It's quick. And then, I'm not going to bring you down, but then it's going to be over. It's going to be over. High school was over. The next thing was over. The next thing was over. And one day, it's going to be over. If my hope is just based on this life, then my hope has an expiration date. Blessed hope has no expiration date. If that's the case, then we know why Jesus took life again after death, so that we could have hope after our life here is over. Remember what he was saying in Titus, in this present world? Well, we get stuck in this present world like we're going to be here forever. We get surprised when someone passes away, and we're all going to pass away. So why aren't we happier about this blessed hope? Why aren't we? Why aren't we living like we have hope past our current situation or dilemma? You know, that's what I see in a lot of Christians. Like, it's like they don't have hope past their current situation or dilemma. This is going on and I can't see past it. Why? You're not using blessed hope. Expectations in this life are always going to end with disappointment. They might be okay for a while, but they're ultimately going to end in disappointment. You say, well, I had an expectation that I was going to be healthy all my life. I was going to have a great job. I was going to make good money. I was going to get a car. I was going to get a house. You say, that's not ending in disappointment. It will, unless you're taking any of those things with you when you die. You see, blessed hope transcends this life. And that's what he tells us to be looking for, expecting. Why are we acting as if our hope is based on our health, or our wealth, or our status, or our pleasure, or our plan for any of those things and the way that they work out? Aren't we acting like that? Well, then we're in line for disappointment. Why are we living like this life we have is all that matters? I mean, have we forgotten that Jesus took his life again so that he could bring us not only into fellowship with God, but also bring us into the actual presence of God, save us from eternal death? I'm talking about hell. Have we forgotten that he promised us everlasting life, not only with him, but with each other? If my hope is just that I'm going to be with the ones that I love, if the Lord doesn't come back, either I'm going before them or they're going before me. But there's no everlasting hope in that until you factor God's plan in with the blessed hope, which says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Okay, I'm going to be with God, but yes, if he made it to me and he made it to you and he made it to you, not only we're going to be with God, we're going to be with who? Each other. That's blessed hope. You mean I can hope that I'm going to have my family forever and I won't be disappointed? Absolutely. If you're a child of God and they're a child of God, you'll be with them forever. Then why aren't we focusing on that part? In a world where we hear people continually talking about the stresses of this life, in a world where one of the most used phrases that we hear every day is this, "I'm so stressed." God laid this message on my heart a couple of months ago. He'd give me a portion and then another portion and another portion. And then he changed everything else around and did something else. And so it's one of those times. But somewhere in the middle of all that, several weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, I was talking to a person and they said, "I'm so stressed." And it was a key word. It was a trigger for me. And I knew that working on this, I began to think, man, I hear that all the time. I just heard it yesterday. So I said, I'm going to see how many days in a row that I hear the word stressed or stress. It's still going. There hasn't been a day since I started keeping up with it that I haven't heard someone verbalize the word stress. Is stress real? Yes. Stress, we've shortened it up. Stress comes from a word called distress. So we're in distress. We don't say it that way. You're probably gonna look at somebody and say, "I'm really in distress." No. They say, "I'm stressed out." So I ask you, why aren't we focusing on the one thing in this life that we do not have to stress at all about? We stress about the things that we're doing. We stress about the things that we want to do. We stress about the things that we want to happen that we really have no control over. But we don't have to stress at all about what God said He was going to do. If you want to have blessed hope, that's a hope with an expectancy that you'll never be disappointed in. With no disappointment, there's no stress. You say, "Well, it all sounds good." You see, if you're looking for this magic thing that happens that says you're not going to have any stress in this world, well, that's naive. You're living in this world. You're going to have the stresses of this world. It's what you intentionally choose to focus on. That's why he says, looking for. It takes us to look for. It has to do with what your expectancy is for. Get this. You know, our stress comes when we begin to consider the possibility of a disappointment. People think that stress comes because something bad happened. Stress comes because you begin to consider the possibility of a disappointment, right? It's not that you're stressing after it happened. You might be stressing about the next thing that it's going to cause. But you stress because you consider the possibility of the disappointment. What if this doesn't happen? Thought. It keeps running through our mind, right? Stress. What if it doesn't? You're considering the possibility, and pretty soon we're overwhelmed with it. Our disappointments in this life are always going to be a product of our expectations. Every disappointment that we ever experience in this life happened because of our expectation that situation would be different. So someone might say, "I don't want to have any disappointment, so I'm not going to have any expectations." But you can't take this approach. Because a person that lives with no expectations is a person that lives with no hope. Definition of hope, I think it's interesting. A desire of some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it. Like there's always the expectation of obtaining the good or a belief that it is obtainable. That's what hope is. It's not wishing something happens. It's this desire that we have, the expectation that something is obtainable, that we can obtain it, that it's good. God doesn't want us to live our lives in disappointment. He doesn't want us to live in such fear of disappointment that we choose to live with no expectations. What God does want us to do is live with a hope in Him and what He said He would do. Because if we live our lives with a hope based on our expectation of God doing what He says He will do, we will never be disappointed. Guys, I'm giving you this morning the key to living a life that will end without disappointment. Remember, the one thing that we never have to stress about is the ability for God to do what He said He would do. Knowing that we never know if we're going to get the result that we want with the things that we expect from our own plans or our own ability. You don't have to stress about God's plan. And Jesus said it this way in John 16, verse 33. He said, and this is big, John 16, 33. In this life, now we're going back to present world, right? In this life, you shall have tribulation. Are you going to get rid of the disappointments that relate to your physical body, your physical well-being, your job, your relationships? Are you going to get rid of that in this life? In this life, you will have tribulations, and you would have even have people opposing you for what you say, how you believe. You have tribulation. Next phrase, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Hey, I want to tell this church, and I hope it gets contagious to other churches, but the reason more people aren't getting saved today is because they don't see Christians being of good cheer. They don't see a light that's out there. They see people living in disappointment, complaining about this and disgusted, and their actions show it out. But He says, in this life, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. What does that mean? That means He took His life again to finish. That you can have blessed hope, that you can be of good cheer because you know that God will never disappoint on His. You say, well, how do I get this out of my mind, these regular disappointments that I have? They're in this life. What you have to do is overwhelm that by being able to look for something other than your selfish plan. Amen. That's what I have to do. It's just going to lead to anxiety and disappointment. Jesus is saying this life that you have in this world will have times of trouble. Your expectations will ultimately, they're going to end in disappointment, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, meaning that Jesus has victory over this life in the temporary world. He's going to give you victory over this life in the temporary world. Well, let me put it another way. I want you to consider a couple of things here. In order for us to have that joy that God wants us to have in this life, we have to be looking past our own expectations and looking toward the expectations that we know will happen. The expectations that we know will happen are the things which God's promised, that Jesus came to this earth and lived and died and resurrected. But understand, when He says looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing, you don't have to just know that you're going to be not disappointed when Jesus comes. He tells you, you can have hope in this life. Blessed hope and the glorious appearing. Sure, I expect Jesus to come back. But if I live my whole life upset, this disappointment, that one, and then I'm happy when Jesus comes back, what good have I done Him here? You know, that's the way a lot of Christians are. I'm ready for Jesus to come back. Well, He's not come back because He's still got something for us to do. Consider this. Writer of Hebrews, which I think is Paul, but that's another discussion. Verse 2, chapter 12, looking unto Jesus. You know, in the book of Titus, he tells us that we're looking for that blessed hope. Now, Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. Are you kidding me? For the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Even the hope that we have now is knowing that we're looking even now to the hope that we have that Jesus is making intercession for us. He's giving us communication with God right now. And then after that, there'll be a day when He gets up out of that throne, right? And he's coming back. So this is what Paul is saying in the book of Titus. We look for him now, we look ahead, but not this continual living in disappointment on expectations of this present world and what we're doing. You see, we're going to have those naturally, but you have to overwhelm them with the blessed hope. We sat here this morning, we sang that song, and we got that heaven mindset, thinking about Revelation 4 and Revelation 5, and given that picture where we're going to stand around there and sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and always will be." And then we get down to the Lamb, and you're talking about all those things. Yeah, that's good. We're in here. But guess what? Monday comes. Right? So I got to use a little bit of that blessed hope today, right? When this thing happens. Well, here's something for you. God loves you. Jesus said in John 15, "As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you." Tells us in John 3:16, "God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He told us in Romans 5:8 that he commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, he died for us. God loves you. Second biggest thing. Not only does he love you, he's willing to forgive you. That's a big deal. He tells us in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Right? Next thing is, he accepts us. John 6:37 says, "He that cometh to me," this Jesus speaking, "I will in no wise cast out." If you come to him the right way, he loves us, he forgives us, and then he's willing to accept us. Think about these things. Fourth thing, he said, "I'll provide for you." He said, "I provide for every little sparrow out here. I know when one falls." Listen, you're much more important than them. "I clothe the grass and the fields, and I'll clothe you. I feed the birds in the air, and you're more important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I'll provide for you." Next thing we know is that he'll protect us. He said in John 10, "I'm the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for you. He tells us in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." That protection, pulling us into his bosom. He tells us that he's going to save us from the punishment of our own sin. Save us, I'm telling you. How does it happen? Romans 10:13 says, hey, doesn't matter what you've done, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't be bad enough to where you can't be saved. And then he tells us, and this is beautiful, not only will he save us, he'll keep us. It didn't just happen a couple of years ago. It didn't just happen last month. He kept me. John 10:27-29. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Then he goes on. "My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of his hand." He keeps me. He loved me. He forgave me. He accepted me. Glory to God. He provides for me. He protects me. He forgave me. He keeps me. I'm kept in Jesus' hand, and then God takes his hand above Jesus' hand and keeps me right in there, right? So he keeps me. You say, why are we going over all these things? These are all things that we can expect of God right now. before Jesus comes back or before we go to meet him. Why? Because he's made it clear that he will do this for us now. These are the expectations that we should live by because they will never lead to disappointment. You have to intentionally overshadow your expectations with the expectations that you know will never disappoint. It's a choice. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is expectation that we can live with that will never bring us disappointment. So I ask you, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? A lot of people here today, people that will be listening on the broadcast, or people that are not here, they're going to be listening to this, and I ask you or anyone listening, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? The world will offer you a lot of things, but he offers you a blessed hope. He offers you something that won't disappoint. I'm not talking about that you know there is a God. You can believe there is a God, but until you accept the only way to come to him, which is Jesus Christ, until you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you can't get to God by just believing there's a God. James 2 tells us even the devils believe in God, but they're not going to him. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? The reason you're hearing this today is because he's never gave up on you. It means there's nothing that you have done that Jesus can't undo with his blood. You come to him and accept his sacrifice. You don't have to say any special words. You just get across the point and say, God, basically, I love you and I know you love me. I want to come to you, but I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I want to use what he did as a sacrifice to take away my sins, cover my sins. I want Jesus to be my Savior. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and you become a child of God that day. The Holy Spirit enters you, and you have an opportunity every day through the power of the Spirit not to be disappointed. That's way better than our physical life is giving us. The older I get, I see where my comfort comes in just relying on the areas that don't disappoint me, right? Maybe you're a Christian. You heard this today. I know you know you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. I want to ask you a question. I want you to look inside of yourself. Are you living with this blessed hope? I know we've talked about it today. Are you living with it? You'll be able to know if your daily expectation are the things that come from God or if you're overwhelmed by this world and the things that you expect from this world. You'll be able to know by the level of disappointment you have every day. You're a Christian, but you're living this discontent life. You're dissatisfied. It seems to be anger happens quickly. You're worried, you fear, because it's all stemming from disappointment. Your expectations are so volatile, they're so fragile because they can change at any time. You are a child of God, and God does not want his children to fear. He wants his children to be satisfied. He doesn't want his children to be disappointed. You know, I'm a dad, and I can tell you that one of the hardest things in my life to see is the disappointment of my child. Right, parents? Hardest thing in the world to see. You say, well, what does that matter? We don't care. Here's why you should care. If you feel it and I feel it, something you need to know. Well, I was made in the image of God. God is my heavenly Father. If I feel it and I don't want my child to be disappointed, God doesn't want us to be disappointed either. He gives us a way not to be. It's called blessed hope. But you have to look for it. You have to set your own expectation. The blessed hope is there. The looking for depends on you. The looking for depends on me. The expectation depends on me. It's what I have to set my mind toward, my heart toward. I am looking for him to come back. If he doesn't come back today, though, I still have blessed hope. And I can live with that blessed hope. Maybe this is something that you know that you need to be intentional to get your mind on. You say, what do I do then? You come and tell him the same thing that I would want my child to say to me. Can you help me with this? Can you help me? It's available to you at the conversation. Just the availability of conversation that you have with God. We have an invitation at the end of the service. Christian, this is a time for you to be able to take what he said to you and respond. See, invitation is a response. The message was an invitation. It was an invitation to respond. If he spoke to you, you come and talk to him. You say, what do I say? You say, I've become distracted by the world. My expectations are all on things of this present world. I can see it happening. The things that I want to happen. And Lord, I'm living this life and I don't seem as happy. I can't be a light for you. People around me must be able to see it. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I want to live with that blessed hope. Don't you know Father God will help you? He'll help gear your mind. The Holy Spirit, ask him to use the Spirit to strengthen you to see the things past this present world, to look for the blessed hope things. All those things that I gave you will never disappoint. Christian, respond to your Father today. This is his message to you. We need to be able to go out of here changed. And it has to do with that blessed hope. Father God, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for who you are. I pray, God, that today your word goes out and accomplishes. Lord, it touches the heart. I know, Lord, that you spoke to me, and Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray, God, that you spoke to others. If there's someone here that's lost, I pray for their salvation right now. I pray, God, they would see their need for salvation and not wait one more second, but boldly, Lord, they would come and want to pray and accept Jesus as their Savior so they could have blessed hope. But for Christians all over this room, Lord, all those listening, Lord, listen to the prayers of your children right now, Lord. We get distracted by these things in the world, Lord. It could be our health, it could be our wealth, it could be our status, it could be our pleasure, it could be anything, Lord. And we're just living in disappointment when you've given us blessed hope, Lord. Accept the prayers of forgiveness from your children today and restore them, Lord, back to this feeling, Lord. This feeling of vibrancy, this feeling, Lord, that comes with looking for something that you know is not going to disappoint. In Jesus' name, amen.